Welcome to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I am your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. All July long, we're doing something a little different around here. We're calling it our Summer Replay Series, and honestly, we're pretty pumped about it. We've gone back through the archives and handpicked some of our all-time favorite episodes to bring back for the summer. Think of it as the greatest hits, conversations that stuck with us and that we just knew you'd love to hear again. If you're new to the show, welcome. This is such a great way to get acquainted. And if you've been listening for a while, you're going to love this too. Some conversations just hit maybe a little bit different the second time around. So whether you're poolside, road tripping, or already full on back to school prep mode, we hope these episodes are a perfect companion to that. So grab your iced drink of choice, get comfortable, and let's do this. As a new teacher, I have this realization early on that as much knowledge and understanding that I had about teaching, there was nothing that prepared me for the realities of being a teacher day in and day out. Today, my guest is Michelle James, who is a former instructional coach and is now a part of our Branching Minds Professional Services. And she's here to chat with me about what it means to support new teachers and how we can help them with implementation of MTSS. So welcome, Michelle.
Thanks so much, Larissa. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you and I have similar experiences being instructional coaches, working with new teachers. So I figured you were like a great person to talk to about this.
Yes.
And you having been in district supporting them sort of in their implementation of MTSS, I think this will just be a really great conversation around this.
Yeah, it's so near and dear to my heart.
Yes, exactly. Well, and that was actually one of my favorite parts of being an instructional coach is working with new teachers, because I had great people when I was a new teacher. And so I always like to pass that on. So I first want to just kind of like dive in. You know, we were talking before we started recording a little bit about, you know, our memories of being first year teachers and even just like our experiences. And I would love for us to just talk a little bit about the foundational elements that help new teachers and supporting them in the most critical ways, whether that be within implementing MTSS or just being a new teacher. What have you seen as being really critical to help support new teachers?
That is a really great question. And I will say, as someone who led new teacher orientation in my district, one of the things that I focused on initially was just building community with new teachers. It's the same thing we do for students, right? When they come walk through our school doors on the very first day, we start with building community. So that is really important to make sure that they feel surrounded by support, whether it be a mentor or a coach or their building leader or their teammates. And then each other, because new teachers need to be able to lean on other new teachers as well, because they're all walking the same path at the same time. They already have something in common. So for me, community and putting those supports in place, I think, is what sets a new teacher up for success.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. I think community is such a vital part because it's really hard to be a teacher and you spend all day with kids. You need other adults to help you make sure you feel sane a little bit, right? And then having those people that can help coach you. I think as a new teacher, there's so many things that you can learn in textbooks and you can learn in teaching labs, you know, and maybe you're a new teacher and you've had that, or you were a student teacher and you had that cooperating teacher. But when you have your own classroom and that's your responsibility, oftentimes it's very overwhelming going into a school year and you're learning so much. It's like drinking out of a fire hose. I always felt like just exhausted most of the time as a first year teacher because there was so much I was learning as I went. So it's good to have that community and that support. I know that you and I both have experience with this, but could you talk a little bit about what your experience has been about helping those teachers initially get into community and maybe what your districts that you have worked with have done to help them sort of orientate them around the work of being a teacher?
Sure. One of the things that we did initially was we always bring in all of our new teachers together in the beginning of the school year before the school year starts. And I did a lot of reflecting after that first year because there's so much information, as you said, drinking out of a fire hose, that teachers need to know to hit the ground running. And what we decided to do is we really flipped new teacher orientation around because it was so much sit and get, right? And then people started to just feel that overwhelming feeling. And we really turned it into more of a fair atmosphere. Like if you think about like a job fair, and we set up tables around the perimeter of the room, and then teachers could come in and make personal connections, whether it be with personnel, or they met their instructional coach, or they spoke to the special education department, or they were working on setting up their payroll or buying new swag. So we brought them in and allowed them to have those personal conversations and make connections immediately with various people in the district. And that was one way where we really tried to build community. Then we layered on their mentors in terms of we had them meet their mentors and then do some team building activities so that they could begin to build those relationships and then that safe space where they could go and feel safe about being vulnerable about things they might be wondering or areas in which they want to improve. So it really was about setting that up, setting up all of those opportunities for people to come together and just build relationships that then, of course, turns into building trust.
Yeah. Well, and I like how it feels a lot more like casual and not as much, you know, this forced, stiff environment. Mm-hmm. And so, and I also think like leading with relationships rather than those long meetings where you give them paper after paper of information and they are truly drinking out of a fire hose and they're exhausted because that's a lot of information to throw at a teacher or someone new. And we all have been there, right? Like you have a new job and you have all this orientation that you have to do, onboarding work. And so, it's better to lead with those relationships. I think helps kind of some of that information dissipate naturally.
Yes. And then you can revisit it on your own time when you're mentally ready to read about anything that you need to know. Right. And so it doesn't give that overload fire hose feeling.
Yeah. Well, and really like in education, relationships are such a crucial part of what we do that it's makes sense to lead with that. Yeah. Right. So with implementation of MTSS or any kind of initiative, one of the hardest parts is you naturally have a little bit of turnover or a lot of turnover. And you have, whether it be brand new teachers or just new teachers to the district, to kind of get them, give them, orient them around that work, right? It's kind of like you're training new people. You kind of have to have a path for them to understand what's already in the works of the district. Can you talk a little bit about what your experience has been kind of bringing people on board some of that work of MTSS or whether it just be any kind of big initiatives that a district is working on? What do you do with new teachers? How do we get them ready to go on the first day of school?
Right. Great question. And I love the use of the word path because that's exactly what it is. And everybody is on the path, but they might be at a different place. So it's really important, just like MTSS, that we meet them where they are. So when our new teachers come in, they're all in the same place in terms of understanding their district that they're now employed at. And so what we did is we started with this high level overview of MTSS on those first couple of days so that they could get a good understanding of what MTSS means. And from there, we mapped out the entire school year. And if you think even like aligning it to your handbook or setting up a schedule for your whole school year where we would bring teachers back together for monthly meetings. And one of the items would be to better understand whether it be differentiated instruction or workflow or how we align our interventions with student needs. So those topics were slow dripped out through the school year, and we anchored everything really in that handbook work so that we could have those conversations. And always revisiting because that's what sustains. And so that's what we did with new teachers. And when we think about other teachers that perhaps are coming from other districts into and then joining a new school district, but they might be seasoned teachers, there's still going to be adjustments that they need to make as well.
Yeah.
So I am really a proponent of teacher voice and choice when it comes to professional learning so that teachers can sometimes choose their own path to learn what it is that they believe they need to know and better understand.
Well, and I think giving that orientation of whether here's the process that we follow in our district. Here's the people that you go to. Here's what happens when you need to support a student. I think having all of that kind of foundational work, laying that foundation that everybody else in the district might have, you know, lays the groundwork for them to sort of build on their knowledge. I think especially for veteran teachers who are new to the district, you want to give them, hey, here's what MTSS looks like in our district. You know, you may already know what it means, but here's how it works, you know, for us, because every district is a little bit different, right? Your local context looks different. You know, the screener that you use in your school may be different than elsewhere. And so you want to make sure that they have that understanding going into the school year. And I think especially with new teachers, because I think MTSS is kind of sometimes a footnote in pre-service programs. It's a fairly newer framework. I know that when I was in school 20 years ago, I didn't really understand MTSS until I was in a district that utilized it. And even then, as a newer teacher, sometimes it applied to me, sometimes it didn't. And so I needed to understand what that meant before I could see what that meant for my classroom, what that meant for supporting my students. And so I think laying that groundwork is really essential. And I like how you talked about like the drip throughout the year, really having a scope and sequence, kind of like any other curriculum. Here's what happens. Here's where we're going to learn all of these things. And know that implementation like this takes time. A brand new teacher isn't going to perfectly implement their aspects of MTSS in their classroom the first year. Like it's going to be ongoing continuous learning and continuous improvement. Much like for anybody, exactly. You know, at any point in the MTSS implementation.
Yeah. We have to be very, very intentional about the scope and sequence, like you spoke about. You know, I think there's some kind of statistic that a brain can handle 10 pieces of information or like a 10-digit phone number. That's why phone numbers were made to only be 10 digits with an area code, because people could remember that. And we have to think about that when we're talking about MTSS and any new processes that we're expecting teachers to really carry out. They can only handle and be successful with a limited amount. And so we want to prioritize where to start and then map out where we're going.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you have to think about their certain responsibilities, right? Like a general education teacher versus a special education mm-hmm. teacher versus, you know, an interventionist or whatever role that they're in, you know, really applying like what's the most important and building from there.
Yes.
So I do have a question kind of leading into some of this is, but I know that like as a new teacher, classroom behavior and building a positive learning culture is such a big part of like them learning how to do all of that on their own. Because before this, they walked into a cooperative teacher's classroom that maybe already established these things. But what aspects of MTSS do you feel like that are important to help new teachers understand going into things?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm going to say that one of the things is teachers need to understand the behavior support system that's in place at their school. And so many schools use PBIS. So really understanding what PBIS means in their school is critical, because they want to follow through on using the same kind of phrasing and the same kind of positive behavior reinforcement that students are used to that maybe had in the previous grade. So I find that to be something that's really important. And then new teachers need to focus on that strong foundation, that tier one foundational understanding. And if they can do that, that will provide them with some success. And I will say that they should heavily lean on coaches, right? Coaches are critical. And then getting them out to do some observations and see how other teachers are managing those same kind of issues that maybe they're being confronted with.
Yeah. Well, and we kind of talked about this a little bit at the beginning, like the place of coaching for new teachers. Like, I can't emphasize that enough of like having sort of some structure. We talked about mentors and coaches and even buddy teachers for new teachers going into the school year, like establishing some kind of structure where they meet with their mentor, they have some coaches at their disposal so that they have people they can go to learn a little bit more. Even just like, I know that in districts I worked in, it was an expectation that I, as the coach, went and observed new teachers and gave them feedback, whether formal or informal. And I think that providing them the people to help coach them and get them to the place that they need to be and help them even like set their own goals. If I want to get better at this, is always really, it's great to have that established in districts. And I know a lot of districts and even I know a lot of states require those kind of things for new teachers. And so, but it's also important to like really have a good structure for that and provide the space and time for teachers to do that.
Yes. I think what I hear you saying is that we need to plan a lot. We need to plan the professional development rollout, but we also need to plan those intentional touch points with their peers, with their coaches, with their mentors, so that they have the space and time to unpack some things and then set some goals and then work on that continuous improvement cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think any good professional development plan, any district that has, you know, has a really good professional development plan has that understanding of what they need to do for teachers. But it is, I think, new teachers. I think sometimes it's easy to do a lot of that at the beginning of the school year, but I think support around particular times of the school year are really important, whether that be parent-teacher conferences.
We actually did that as well. I was just going to say that being proactive rather than reactive. So we know conferences are coming up. So let's pull all of our new teachers together and let's talk about how we set up a successful conference, how we use data to talk with parents, how we build bridges between school and home with parents through conferencing. And so that needs to happen before the conferences so that we're not feeling reactionary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this kind of relates to this, but you know, a big part of MTSS is that collaborative nature, right? Having sort of whether it be meetings, you know, team meetings, MTSS team meetings around like certain students. What do you think are best ways to orient new teachers to that collaborative nature of MTSS?
I think having them have a seat at the table is where we need to start. And they may feel hesitant at first because it's a new environment. It's a new kind of, you know, if they're not used to having data meetings or student level or individual student meetings, we need to invite them in. And then we need to take that approach of sitting shoulder to shoulder and helping them together to better understand the process and how this all works. And so in the beginning, it might be more modeling. But as they get more comfortable, we're going to ask them to start taking more of that leadership piece when they're talking about students. And so we need to slowly get them there. It might not happen immediately, and that's okay.
Yeah. And I think also as well, I think that it can be really intimidating as a new teacher to go into a data meeting about a student and you're looking about data from your particular class. I know I struggled with this. Maybe I'm alone in it, but maybe I'm not. But just feeling like, oh, I haven't done enough for this student, right? It's really easy as a teacher to feel that way if a student is struggling in your class, to feel like you to take it personally.
Yes.
And so making sure that they understand that that's not the thing that they're talking about, right? Like, we're talking about how do we help with a student? And you may have done everything that you could, but making sure that the teachers know that it's like a non-threatening environment. Because sometimes, I think back to some of those meetings where I felt like, oh, I haven't done enough to support the student. But really I had, but they just struggled and they needed more than what I could provide in my classroom.
Yes.
And so I think that that's important to understand.
Yes. And I also, you know, it's the way we ask questions. It's the way we frame our conversations that also help in that capacity. Something like ISIL, which is instruction, curriculum, environment, and learner. And we start at instructional level and we have those reflective conversations about what kinds of instruction does the student really respond to versus when do you notice they're not responding? And then what about the curriculum is hard for them to access in an environment? That's the E. Do they work better in a small group? Are they better when they're sitting next to a peer? Those are the kinds of questions we can ask to sort of pull out information that will help us support the student that doesn't necessarily feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of teachers may just experience this in general. It's just like taking that really personally because so much of what their job feels very personal. So I think you're right. Asking the right questions is important for, you know, whoever's leading the meeting, you know, even just having mentors work with the new teachers through some of this kind of process is really important as well. So I love that you brought that up. That's a great thing to remember is just like how we ask those questions for new teachers. So I'm sure that we could talk about this as supporting teachers. And I think you provided such great insight around how we can support new teachers. But I wanted to just give our audience a little bit of insight into ways that they could, if they haven't been thinking about this, the ways they can think about supporting new teachers, because this is a time, right? We're planning for next year. We're thinking about, you know, how we can onboard those new teachers and really thinking like, are we strategic in our summer onboarding as we get new teachers into the district? And have we planned how we help them understand the MTSS framework and what's the expectations for what they do? So thank you so much, Michelle, for being here and chatting about this.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn @branchingminds.